My name's Serge, and welcome. And somebody just handed me a clipboard. If you wanna give your name and you wanna give your email, and then we would make sure that you would get things from the catch, materials and stuff. There's also the email address on there if you wanna send any public comment. Like, City Council has their own email, catch@cityofsantacruz.com. So, if you wanna sign in, absolutely don't have to. Just this is a subcommittee of the City of Santa Cruz made the city, the Community Advisory Committee on Homelessness. And they gave us 9 months and they said, hey, do some stuff. And we are the Safe Sleep Subcommittee. You want me to talk louder than that? I can try. So we have some questions that we need answers and feedback for, so that we can write our report to the full catch committee, then they would vote on it on Tuesday, and then it would go to the City Council at the second meeting of February. So my name is Serge, and I am one of these people, and that...
I'm Rafa, I'm also on the catch safe sleep subcommittee.
Say hi.
Allie Cat, hi.
Allie. And Don was over there, and Stoney is that dude way back there, and Evan is sitting there reading too. And I just did this presentation super fast without the projector working for the business council this afternoon in 1 hour. So we're gonna go slow, and I'm trying not to be pedantic, talk down to anybody in offering information. You may know some of this information, but it's just going through it and saying, trying to share information. And anytime you have a question, I'm pretty cool with just raise your hand and I'll try to answer it. And I may answer it. As Don told me, I don't have to answer every question because sometimes you're just making a comment and I should just accept that. And we will have somebody writing down all of the comments you made. I want you to be clear that we will take everybody's feedback. And is anything already? Oh, here we go. So, I'm an amateur. Whoa, there's a light. PowerPoint, and it took me a really long time. There will be no transition-y things. I'm sorry, I don't know how. And I did do some shadows on this slide, and now I'm done doing animations. Apologize.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I don't know how to do one thing at a time, so everything pops up, and then I start talking about it. So this is what we were thinking of the goals for today. There's some definitions that we talk about within the camping ordinance. That's what the City Council asked us to respond to. There's a proposed camping ordinance.
Okay. Okay, so how far do I forward? So the proposed camping ordinance from November says some things that we'll be talking about, but there's some words in it that are used differently than I normally use, and understanding how they're being used is important throughout the discussion. Our choices would be, they asked us on our opinion on the camping ordinance. We could say, yes, the City Council asked for our advice. So we could say, yes, exactly like that. We could say, no, like this. We could, but also it talks about where people would sleep is something that we said we want more time because no matter what, we don't have enough shelter beds, so people will be outside. So we'll also be talking about how do we decide as a community those kind of sites. And we talk about within the camping ordinance, that's SCPD that's responsible for that whole thing.
I'm sorry.
Sure.
What this proposal is, all of the proposals.
It's a proposed ordinance that I'll be going through pretty clearly. I'll do it within 3 slides.
Okay,
maybe 4 or 5. Close. So right now it's on SCPD, middle of the night. Hey, you're sleeping here. The ordinance says, you know, go to shelter, or I'm gonna have to write you a ticket. You can't be sleeping here because I know that there's space in the shelter. So there's a whole lot of details of that that are really complicated, and making SCPD do that while they could be doing many other things. There's lots of other jurisdictions that have a lot of different kind of outreach or like a complete different service that does that same, that part of the piece. Not the enforcement of the laws and the littering and trash and assault and stuff, that's PD-ish stuff. But that conversation of trying to get somebody into services could be done differently, and we'll show you some different models. We'll be talking about what is our community's common goals, because in our community we have sort of extreme sides, and we have activists on one side that have some very strong opinions, and we have activists on the other side that have pretty strong opinions, but we're trying to find a place where we agree. Like, how can we get everyone's needs met? It is not fair for either the housed or the business community or the unhoused not to get their needs met. So trying to figure out that place where we can get everybody's needs met. The discussion is then gonna be when we do talk about where people will sleep, because no matter what, they still exist and they will be sleeping somewhere. And it's talking about not just individuals, but car camping, where would they be allowed to sleep? We will talk about what kind of zones, what is the criteria for that area? And we'll show you at the end, and we'll ask your opinions, which criteria are the most important to you? And that talks about, does it affect businesses? Does it affect tourism? Is it close to schools? Does it have some sort of covered area or something like that for people? Like, how do we decide what is the place that they go? Because right now, there's no place that people are allowed to go. I'm sorry, you're not allowed to be here. This is trespassing, you need to go. Where should I go? I don't know, but you can't be here. So trying to, and that's not fair for either person in that conversation. And any questions on that? And we will get to your question pretty soon, if it goes forward. Okay, for the words within the ordinance, and luckily we have the chief of police here who can probably correct me if I do define a word wrong.
Yes.
For camping within the ordinance, camping is, if you are camping, that's you're sleeping, and you have any equipment with you, which would be blanket, sleeping bag, tarp, tent, or none of these, like that's, if you have any of those, that's camping. Not having it is sleeping. So, but the difference between me going and doing a picnic and somebody with a sleeping bag that intends to stay the night, me being allowed to do it and him not being allowed to do it, it just has to be, we're gonna talk about the way things are written, because we've also been, our city has gotten a couple letters from Disability Rights California, ACLU of Northern California, and the National Law Center on Homelessness and Poverty, on it is poorly written and vague, therefore unconstitutional, and we will sue you. So we will be talking about just how it's written and what might be.
What's poorly written? The ordinance?
The ordinance, and we'll get to it.
Well, you can say the same thing for Martin versus the Boise, too.
Absolutely. And I can talk to you more, Martin versus Boise, it's pretty interesting.
But can I say
and
vague. You know, at the end of the day, it's kind of like pornography, what they say about porno. You know what camping, homeless camping is? When you see it versus the person the picnic.
Agreed.
Just like porno, you know what porno is. But even though you can't really describe it in very...
porno is.
You've heard that before, that's a common expression.
I'm not answering that anymore. Public health and safety, sorry. Interestingly though, never defined anywhere, but used as a reason that, though absolutely, Ross Camp, I am not gonna disagree, Ross Camp became a dangerous and unsafe and unhealthy place.
No, it didn't.
Totally agree. Ross Camp was, people didn't have anywhere to go. They were allowed in one place. There was a federal lawsuit, and it became complicated on how to move
behind
them.
Ross Dress for Less. Yeah. Behind that store called Ross Dress for Less.
It was just a place that people stayed in. It was not.
That's an inaccurate description, but yeah. He's talking about the place.
So my
place for safety. Many women who have been getting raped and sexually assaulted on the streets moved in there for safety.
I hear you. I'll use a different example. if you had an example where there was a lot of substance use and people were getting hurt and there was a lot of rats and stuff like that, at some point, absolutely, public health and safety issue.
Yeah, 1220 River.
Absolutely, 1220 River had a lot of rats around it, like I'm agreeing with you. One person in a tent who keeps their area really clean, says hi to people going by, is that a public health and safety issue? So we can say something about camping and we can say something about where people go, but we are legally liable if we start calling it something that we know it's not. That's the only point. So public health and safety is said as something, as one of the reasons, but just to be clear, it's defined nowhere that we could find.
So into this, in the camping law that exists now, sleeping is illegal. And that's what we're talking about, getting rid of the word sleeping in part. How's that?
Yeah. We'll be talking about what the purposes are that, what is it trying to manage, and is it necessary for a camping ordinance to manage it, or can SCPD get their needs met to keep us safe and to manage people without those words? That is not, we're not the chaos of the everybody everywhere running around, like, you know, that's not what we're saying. Encampment is the intention of sleeping a night. This took me a while to figure out because I thought it was encampment and a huge group of people. But I don't think that's what the word means within the ordinance.
Yeah.
And public nuisance is just something that you don't like to see, as far as we could understand when we were looking it up, which I definitely hear it's uncomfortable to see homeless people outside. I get that. But they have to be. Calling it a public nuisance to make it move along doesn't solve the problem. So you'll just see those words later on. Status quo, the way it is right now, with the camping ban that we had from before not being enforced, other ordinances being enforced, trespassing, can't block a sidewalk, park closed, conduct on a park, public property. Those things are enforced, not a camping ban. So no camping and ordinance enforcement. Parks are closed at night. You can read these things going down the list for yourself. It's unclear where people are supposed to sleep. They don't even know where to go to stay out of trouble. Police don't really know. They haven't been told where people can go either, so they're stuck in between trying to enforce something. They're not given the tools to do it. The only place for car campers to find out is they would have to drive the street and check what the signs are, because even our city doesn't really understand. Like, Public Works doesn't have a map that tells where the overnight limited parkings are. So one of the things we're asking is Public Works make some sort of map for us. And the city has no strategic plan, because we don't, that's part of what we're talking about tonight.
Can I make one other point? You're not allowed to sleep in a vehicle or outside anywhere within the city of Santa Cruz. So unless you are...
right now or with
right
the ordinance?
Yeah, just so that you know, like, you can be arrested, and people are, I believe Mr. Mills will verify this, they're not being arrested for that now because of the Martin v. Boise, but that's the law as it
says. So the first camping ordinance is not being enforced now because there was a lawsuit, a federal lawsuit. So there's a second ordinance that we're talking about tonight that is supposed to fit into be legally appropriate language for the federal lawsuit. Does that make sense? That's not right. Am I close?
City council suspended.
Yeah.
The camping ordinance. There is no camping ordinance.
Oh, does it exist? Or it's
suspended.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not enforceable. They consciously made this decision to suspend it. So we do not force camping anywhere in the city at any time. We have it for almost 2 years.
Thank you.
And now they just use trespass and other laws to avoid that.
I tried to say what you said.
Do your job.
And status quo, we still got trash, litter, sewage dumping, theft, effects on businesses, perceived safety issues, no response to strategic plan on homelessness, and every time we have a new problem, we figure out new restrictions and we move people to place, which I think that we've been doing since a long time before I got here, the 80s or something with the hippies, so that's like 40, 50 years of never having some idea of what to do with this growing crowd of people. Not to say it's just a city issue, definitely county and social services issue, but our strategic plan right now is, the phrase is whack-a-mole, just keep them moving. And it is hard because every time we start to talk about specifics of this, people get upset and people get scared, because if it's done badly, it'll be bad. Okay. These are the super basics of the new ordinance, and please correct me. No daytime camping, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. No nighttime camping if you're offered a shelter. If somebody comes to you and says there is shelter, you can go to that. You need to leave and stop camping, or I'll write you a citation. Or, a slightly complicated, if they had the funds to get their own shelter, they're also not protected and allowed to camp, which I don't know how you would check that.
You just said campings.
Yeah. This is the new ordinance.
This is the proposed.
Oh, proposed.
Yeah. So the proposed ordinance is there would be no nighttime camping if somebody offers you shelter. If an officer is the probable person we're talking about, offers you shelter. Hey, Mikey. We're going to talk about that more. That is one of the issues that makes this whole thing so complicated, of the many issues of why offering someone shelter, like we talked about before, there's reasons why that shelter might not like them or they might not like that shelter.
Who's proposing this chapter 6?
The proposing it? City attorney
city
wrote
staff.
It? And
city staff?
Okay,
yeah.
So it's a bill going
through the... Yeah. And no overnight car camping anywhere in the city except for 3 in church parking lots with permission, and there's a program that monitors them, 2 in business parking lots, which I actually don't know any businesses that actually have permission and have somebody sleeping there, 1 in a personal driveway for 3 days per week. Walmart doesn't do that here.
We don't do that anymore.
There's no Walmart.
Yeah, and there's no Walmart. And 1 in a personal driveway for 3 nights per month, I think.
And virtually no one that lives in a car qualifies for the program. And so it's very frustrating. The people running the program are frustrated that no one is coming to sleep at their places, and that's because no one really qualifies. So that's why the small number of parking spaces are essentially always empty. So just so people know, the rules are such that an actual person that lived outside in their vehicle would not be able to stay in any of the places that we've just discussed. Thank you.
And you'll continuously hear different opinions on stuff. And I could say, but he has his hand up. Sorry, I'll come right there.
Well, for it, so having up-to-date registration, that's very difficult for many people because, for example, a woman came to me on Monday. She receives up to 3 tickets a day, and so now she has thousands of dollars worth of tickets, and she has to pay them to be able to register her vehicle, and she doesn't have, and she could register her vehicle if she had enough money to actually also rent an apartment. So that's one of the many problems. And there's also types of vehicles are not allowed. There's very strict definition of what kind of a vehicle could be there, and so on. So in my experience, people that also try to get into this program come to me and are very discouraged because they don't qualify. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm just curious. How
what's the process of this whole? Are you going to go through everything and then we're going to have discussion, or are we going to have those write-ins and then he's going to keep interrupting? And so what are we doing here?
I'm trying to let people talk, and it's that conversation.
I think it'd be good to kind of go through it, and then we have a discussion. I know, otherwise we're never going to get to everything.
You know what I mean?
I hear you, dude. You know I hear you. But let's try to keep it flowing. How about that?
I think you should kind of go through
it. Okay. Yeah. So AFC, the Safe Spaces, is a beautiful program. It's got a waiting list these days.
They called us up and asked us how we get people to come there.
That's the rotating shelter, not Safe Spaces.
No, this was Safe Parking. They called us and wanted to know why people were not in their code slots.
It's unbelievably successful. It's more than 80 people do like it. You're not
Sorry, here's a good question. So the difference, and you got a credit, I don't know. So felony misdemeanor, ordinance violation way below the other ones. So if a city makes a rule, it's an ordinance. And so the camping is an ordinance violation, which is less than a misdemeanor.
Infraction. And what do they do?
It says a ticket and they ignore it and you can't really do anything about it, but if it's a few misdemeanors that they don't show up in court, you can do a warrant and stuff. But misdemeanors are just tickets, and these people, like, they have confused lives. They're not showing up in court. It's going to collections. Like, and it's a lot of money that these people are racking up.
So if they get a ticket, they don't show up in court, they're supposed to get a misdemeanor.
Bitch one.
So the question was about if someone breaks this, is it a felony or a misdemeanor? And it's a it's an ordinance infraction. So that was the conversation.
And then what happens is once you get, I have a friend that got a car, he got a car to live in and a full-time job, and they garnish his wages every single paycheck. And so that's what ultimately happens to you on your attempt to get off the streets.
Hey Keith.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know I'm on your side of the... people are living a hard time, but I need the crowd to stay and not walk away.
Question here.
Yeah.
This business about the overnight camping...
I haven't even gotten to the presentation part, guys.
Is exactly the same as the existing law. There's no change in the law. You should clarify that.
Hey everyone, my name is Candace Elliott and I'm the co-chair for the Community Advisory Committee on Homelessness.
I had a question. Can he answer that first?
And we'd like to ask you all to reserve your questions until we've had a chance to get through the slides.
As soon as it's answered, how about
and
that?
And then, no.
No.
We'll get to you when we are engaging with everyone who's here.
So you're cutting off people's questions. Okay, that's what you're doing.
Yes, at this time we are.
Our letter just set up, structure and decorum. That's not.
I'll take a couple questions on each slide and we'll just move along as we go. How about that? And then the other thing it talks, and we'll talk about it more in the camping ordinance, is unattended items being confiscated. It's just, these are the bare bones. Just if you don't know. This system, but right now we are not enforcing the camping ordinance. And so presently the way it works for you can see it for yourselves, you have the handout, cost of being homelessness. Santa Cruz, life expectancy is 20 years less for a homeless person. Disease, hypothermia, sleep deprivation, all of those things are increased. And if people are getting tickets or people going into the jail, which doesn't even have space, then they have credit history issues and criminal history issues with someone trying to house them at some point. It's a complicated, and that's what we want. We want them housed, but our until then gets a little complicated. On the left, on the right, we're going to talk about those things, but we have federal funding that is at risk if there's a question for our federal funding requests. Of does your community have any criminalization, and what are you, if you do, are you trying to work with your politicians to change that? We have to answer every time, and we get a couple points deducted every time because of the criminalization laws. State funding, the governor just came, the advisory committee in a couple weeks ago, just came out with a report, and we'll show that a line that they say, sort of a veiled threat. litigation. I talked about that. And then the big one is how many different agencies are dealing with people when they're on the streets, on just constantly dealing on the streets, not just because of the camping ordinance, but medical care. People tend to go to ER more often, public defender, city attorney, district attorney, judges. Homeless service providers who are supposed to house them are trying to find people's stuff because they got confiscated or get them a new ID. But they're the ones that were supposed to be doing the work on housing, but they're doing this other thing. And businesses, the money they have to put in to clean up their stuff and the time they have to do managing people and stuff, like just on the homeless in general. And there's no space in the jail. I took a lot of quotes from this study. And they also wrote a really interesting paper on encampments and across the country and best ways to manage them and stuff like that too. So I am not plagiarizing, officer. I'm admitting it. Federally, on the left, it's just talking about we have that question and you get 2 points taken off if you have criminalization things. And on the right, the governor's advisory committee, sweeps and criminalization have been shown not to work in this effort. Strategies that explicitly or implicitly encourage these actions will be unacceptable. Does that mean that we're not going to get the state money we're hoping for? Does that mean that he's going to start suing different cities like he's been doing? Doesn't say. Too fast. These are the three organizations. They just sent a letter to the CATCH. They sent one to the city council before. You can get copies of those if you want. It talks about the specifics of how it's written. Not only does it have stigma on homeless people, but how it affects people with disabilities in different groups. Like, how do you get persons sheltered and stuff like that? I'm talking about the proposed camping laws.
Can I talk on that last slide?
Can I get through a few things that I really...
Yes, there's one more group. The Santa Cruz Homeless Union is also ready for the lawsuit. So they could start to have our logo up there on that slide as well. Thank you very much.
Those were actual law firm kind
of
things.
Yeah, we are an actual group suing.
Okay. And this is 2015, and I admit it, this is the Department of Justice saying that the SDPD shouldn't be on the front line dealing with mental health and housing. I understand that the administration has changed, but I'd like to quote. Housing lowers crime, get people into housing, less recidivism. Public health, we talk about that a lot and say it's an unhealthy situation for the community. American Medical Association on the left, American Health Association on the right, both talk about housing is the thing to try to change a person's health status and life expectancy. Criminalization of homelessness, not moving in that direction. So they both taken stands against criminalization. Violence against homelessness. This talks about once there is criminalization and once there's vigilante groups, that comes from it, and people have done some crimes, and they say, I was doing the work of the PD. Not PD's fault, but it's the step. August of 2019, two people in Los Angeles set fire to a camp under a bridge. One of them was the son of the Chamber of Commerce, the head of the Chamber of Commerce, closed down the bridge, the highway for 2 days. People do these things, the extremists do these things, based on this one, social media and the online conversation. And as it gets sort of negative, and as there's sort of name calling and sort of blaming and all that stuff, the more extreme types take that a little farther and farther and farther. All the studies show that's all coming from the criminalization and the allowance of that kind of thinking.
But would you say that the majority of crime on homeless is homeless on homeless?
Yes.
Thank you.
So what we're talking about here, make sure I'm on the right slide. Yeah.
And there's violence against the homeless in Santa Cruz as well, you agree?
Agreed. What we want to hear your opinions on is Santa Cruz does not have outreach as its response to homelessness. We have enforcement. We do not have county people who are coming in and helping out our SCPD. We have some county people that do some outreach and some walking around, Homeless Peterson's Health Project. A couple of them, Susan and Vic, do some walking and stuff. And there's some vet groups that do some walking, and there's a few. But there's nobody that's coordinated to help take the burden off SCPD. In other places, and lots of other places, they actually do have systems that are set up that actually go through 911, and that are actually, 911 is choosing which ones they're passing on, so it's safe, they're not sending them to, let me just get through it. And
CSO.
CSO.
Community Service Officer.
Community Service Officer.
That's the SCPD.
You guys are saying lots of letters at me, and I want you to stop it. So it's the idea of engagement, it's the idea of building rapport, it's having some socks and talking to somebody and saying, you know, having a completely different interaction with them than the I'm enforcing rules kind of thing. Maybe that's, and so I can talk about different places. Cahoots is?
Is it a name that's
crisis?
Crisis.
Assistance. Out on the streets. They just made up the word. County contract with a nonprofit that has public health, nurse, and mental health, 24-hour van, taking the response, the first line of response, trying to talk people into following rules or doing this and having that conversation and maybe having that sandwich is my imagination. I don't know if they actually carry sandwiches. But it could be somebody who comes up and says, hey, you know, you're not allowed to sleep here, like, and you don't have a sleeping bag. Do you need a ride over to where, like, I can see that there's a shelter. Do you want to, I don't like that shelter. No, I know them. Like, I'll introduce you, something like that. I can give you a ride over there, or I can give you a ride to the place you're allowed to sleep. No, I don't want to. Okay, you're on somebody's front lawn. You know SCPD's coming in an hour. Okay. Like, whatever. Like, not to say that there's not enforcement, but having a different kind of conversation first and saying, if I take you over there, hey, I can look up in County Mental Health, oh, you have an appointment tomorrow. Do you need a ride? Oh, I'll get somebody to come and get you. Or, oh, you, like whatever, they would be in the system as county people to make that stuff happen a lot better. Okay. Oh, I thought you were just raving over there.
We had this nice big white bag and people would still stand there in the rain and not get out. We and the guys in the door like, come on, get out of the grid.
People always make their choices.
I go to a lot of county meetings, and I don't know.
Hello? Okay. I go to a lot of county meetings, and we won't know if there's case managers in the room, and we won't have the information about a particular person unless a mental health person just happens to be there. They play on their phone, and they like look it up, and they're like, oh no, I can get a message to him. And I'm like, oh, we've been trying to house him. Same thing with mental health, with public health is actually a different system. There's, the communication is not happening. So the idea here is have everybody be able to check the different systems and have the warm handoff. Like, how easy can I make it to get you into services? If I have to bend over backwards a little, I'm still getting you off the street and that's okay. I'm not, Yeah. It's just an idea, and we're trying to get feedback. And I should go faster. Sorry. And then at the bottom on the left, all the different ways that information could be funneled together is the city has an app where you can say you see an encampment, and you tell them. The county has a My Santa Cruz kind of thing. The park maintenance guys might see somebody camping. You might be running through Poganip and you might see somebody. Maybe press a button. It has the GPS and that goes towards the county, shoots towards Homeless Persons Health Project, and they know all the different outreach people. And they're like, oh, I know it's a vet. I'll have one of the vet people go. Oh, I know it's a youth. I'll have, but and maybe that's a not emergency, like a day or two. But maybe it is going through 911 and fire. When they see somebody, they can just press a button. Park maintenance, they just press a button. People do see each other. We don't have a coordinated way of responding to it, though. So.
That could be dangerous for the edge. Not my backyard next door.
They have the Chris back right now. If you look it up, it actually says it can. You can do the button. On the right, all the theft, all the criminal things, that's still SCPD. not saying that criminal isn't criminal, like it is. So, but still trying to get people on the left is trying to get people into services. On the right, criminal stuff, and okay. So the goals of the new model for outreach, it's outreach and enforcement. On the left is the immediate needs. Right now, okay, I'm just gonna not use this and not hold it either.
People don't even know where to sleep. At the end of this, we're gonna have a conversation about criteria so that we could actually get some maps, so that SCPD isn't having that silly conversation that they probably hate having every time. And they say, this is where you're allowed to go, or those are where you're not allowed to go. So having maps, that also goes for car camping too. We want people not to poo and pee outside. We should figure out bathrooms, or have the sleeping places where they're allowed to go have bathrooms in them. Trash cans, not to say that people always use trash cans, but if I'm gonna throw something and there's a trash can here, I'm more likely to use it. If there's not a trash can, you get it. Maybe needle disposal kiosks at those places. Official sewage dump site will lessen sewage dumping, not all of it, but a lot of it. And maybe we get our suggestion towards the city is to negotiate with the county of getting more downtown streets team things to the places where we're saying people should sleep. Maybe we have a cleanup kind of area or some program for that. On the right, all the long-term benefits of getting people into services is all the good stuff. This is a stated ordinance of the new camping ordinance.
Skip to a website. We're going to get some feedback on this.
Now I was going to ask, did you have questions on Cahoots, or do you guys have any input on this up to here kind of idea?
About 5 years ago, me and a gal named she got together, and she did it a bit. She literally, out of her heart, took gas money and went to the, like you said, door to door to help reach out and give a ride. And then they found out she did that. She takes it out here. I'm saying her name. I worked with her. And me and her did it, right? Sneakily, we did it, and then they found out. They called. Is that what they use when you help somebody?
Enabling is one word.
Anyway, so she got fined, got fired.
Out
of her pocket. And she gave money to a person that was homeless.
Yes.
Making a bet. That's the kind of stuff that we stop our people like me.
I hear you.
That's the problem with it,
Well, I hear you. It's a pretty different question than what we're talking about right now. It's the boundaries of an employee on appropriate boundaries. Yeah, but I hear you. It's hard to work with people every day and not be able to help them through something that you have the money for. But it's just an agency rule a lot of the time. Sorry, questions on this? And somebody had a Cahoots question or something. No?
More or less all the things on the left. Seems to me a lot of it has to do with coordination, and it has to do with people not having different systems, having different groups, county versus city, and it's silly that we can't coordinate everything in this day and age and in this part of the country, which is so high tech. So it seems to me that if we can just get a couple high tech minds on this, that it should just happen. All the information at the top, like you said, of a button, should all be coordinated.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. And I need to go, a couple of people have their hands too. Okay.
I was going to ask if there's enforcement of littering rules, isn't that going to make it harder for homeless people to get out of the situation they're in?
But people shouldn't be littering. Though I do understand a lot of homeless people litter and stuff. But I hear you. Yes, be nice. Try to be compassionate. Try to say, hey, do you need help setting this up a little bit? Or hey, do you need a box? But at the end of the day, stop leaving stuff everywhere, dude. Like,
amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
short-ish.
Yeah, so it's relatively rare that a person comes to our meals every week who isn't aware of all of the services that are available already in the community. And it's typically the people who have just become homeless. And then usually what we do is we just ask the crowd, what about this? And then everybody like provides information. So if you live outside in Santa Cruz for any length of time, you already know all the information that would be happening. So you don't...
We have a difference of opinion on that one, but that is an opinion that you... And Brent had his hand up. And then one more, and then we're going to move on.
My nonprofit offers basic community needs storage scalable. Every single person who didn't show up. Laundry. We did 53 of those today, and showers. I'm really curious. We also have a phone number, 2461234. It's stop, please. It's like it's.
Would you talk about the presentation? Okay.
It's like it's very simple. We offer a service like cahoots. What I'm able to do is to stand up in front of the catch and make presentations as a nonprofit who actually is doing the lion's share of services in Santa Cruz. So you have a presentation,
Brent?
But we've not been able to make a presentation to you, your subcommittee. So
you did do a presentation on something.
Yeah, I have 10 minutes to talk about transitional campus in the morning today.
Thank you.
No, I have not been able to make a presentation to catch yet about the full spectrum of things that our nonprofit offers this
Brent,
meeting.
You can't have this meeting. Thank you, though. And I do appreciate the
it's
workflow.
All the things on the list I'm addressing. What are you talking about, dude?
So I was just going to elaborate on your comment about the organization. Every Microsoft program, Word, whatever, Gantt charts, flow charts, everything is pretty simple to create. Any construction project management software would be simple enough to create a system like that. What I would like to see is all the resources lined up. I'd like to see all the resources lined up and then ways to bridge those gaps. Because you'll see the disconnect and then on that whole flow chart, it's just visual. It's easier to see visual than talk about the different resources that are out there. And then you can easily see the ways to bridge those gaps.
I had a conversation with the CAO's office and their IT people. And they think that they're asking for a proposal on modifying their stuff and how the tech would work on that. Yes. And I was at an outreach meeting of those guys. Yes. But a political will of city council saying, yes, this is something we want the city manager to have that conversation and telling staff, this is something you need to figure out how to do. Yes. Last thing and then moving on.
I think hit the nail on the head.
Thank you.
You absolutely need a communication system. I was just curious how much it would cost to plug your headcount again.
I have no idea the cost, and we have state and federal money that's available for this. It wouldn't just be city money, and it would actually be mostly county staff.
Are you proposing to redesign the cahoots in Santa Cruz or bringing them down from Eugene or a nonprofit locally who might mirror that program?
We're not anywhere near choosing an organization to do a thing. Just talking about what would work for Santa Cruz, having conversations with different people to try to get them to
It's already happening in Santa Cruz.
Cool.
You get blind yourself.
Wait, I think I said this one. Okay, this is the stated purpose of the new ordinance that we're supposed to respond to. And there are agreed things that we all agree to, like things should be readily accessible. But it says a couple things that the use of these areas for camping purposes or storage of personal property interferes with the rights of others to use the areas as they're intended. Though true, the homeless people don't have so many options. There are some storage places and stuff like that, but the interference of some people, we still got to take care of, figure out what the homeless people are supposed to be doing during this time. That's good. Such action can constitute a public health and safety hazard, and as far as we know, and he's a research little freak, we couldn't find a definition of public health and safety, so even the people who are trying to camp nicely and do not have food all over the place or pooing all over the place, even they're being called a public health and safety issue. Throwing everybody into that pot, even the people who are trying to act well, are still getting in trouble here. And accumulation of trash and debris, yep, we're not defending that. And fires, nope, not defending that. Not everybody does that. Those are laws in and unto themselves. Yep. So community goals, so this was going to be a question, and guy saves some stuff, and he's going to scribble, and he's going to be the only person who can read it. So how, what are the goals that we have, and yes, I want to hear, people of the different constituencies, house people, unhoused, business people, what as a community are we trying to solve?
Buildings that people can transition to. There aren't any of those to take someone from the street. They have nowhere to go. So there's no end product to get them into at the moment. In the meantime, one of the great things that would very much help the public's perception of unhoused people is if people on the cash or with food.coms or the other advocates that are around would try to help train unhoused people to not blow up the spot. Don't leave your trash everywhere. You don't need to sit down and then 10 minutes later have a 40-foot pile of debris around you. That would make it much easier for the house people to accept you in their neighborhood or in the park or whatnot. The less visual impact that is made, the better off everybody would be at it.
I hear that.
So that's just one step for in.
Okay. Donna did not respond. Good, huh?
Yes, and I agree that there's an issue of there being trash around, and there's lots of reasons for that, and one of the reasons is a lack of place for foot trash. There's also the problem of people being routed from places and fleeing very quickly.
Can you use this time instead of debating? Say what some of your goals are.
Yeah, more dumpsters and access to places for people to put their trash would probably reduce some of the problem with the trash. And particularly if you're safe, if there's a natural place for people to camp and then there's a dumpster at that place, it would make a ton of sense. Then people would likely use it.
Got it.
Hi.
Hi.
I spent a little bit of time in Seacoast discussing some of these issues.
We had coffee once, didn't we?
Hi, Colin, yes, sir. I'm Carol. Anyway, one of the ideas that I think makes a lot of sense that we kind of agreed upon in our group is that people who are experiencing homelessness have a variety of needs, and it's really important what you said, I don't know your name, about coordinating efforts. And that there really should be a continuum of care with multiple ways to get on and off the continuum of care. In other words, not everybody needs everything. Some people need something for sure. And it's critical that because we don't have unlimited resources, that we find a way for agencies to be able to work together, for there to be some kind of a, I don't know if it's a program or an app that would allow people to see, oh, we already saw Carol. Carol has food, but she needs childcare, whatever it is. And so you're not reduplicating effort all the time. And so that when you have another encounter with the same person, you can be, how did that go? How did that childcare appointment go? Coordination. Communication.
Coordination. Thank you.
All right, a couple points real quick. Restroom situations. I thought of an idea that had all the churches put a restroom at the end of the parking lots that don't have daycare facilities, and then we get a group rate as a community to take care of the community instead of pushing it all into a municipality. We are the community. We should be taking care of ourselves. So that's one point. The other side of life is do we really want to wait for a state of emergency to lighten up building codes to build these facilities? Like, that's really what it's coming down to. I'm a building inspector for the county of Santa Cruz. I'm not representing the county here speaking, but we don't allow building. I mean, we're so strict in every aspect of it that we're not building houses for permanent people.
We have a shelter emergency for shelter stuff. Like, there was, we're allowed to skip some of the steps on the building code stuff. Fire chief still has to make sure it's safe. What up, Director of Planning?
Two things. I think we can protect homeless people, but I think we should also protect businesses, tourism, property prices.
and health care.
What was the last one?
Health.
Right.
Health is the last one. He's in the New I get to hold it? Wow. When I was a little bit... Okay. So we as a community can demand that every single person in the doorway gets shelter as soon as possible. They're all listed. The Navigation Center, it's mythological now. It hasn't yet to be defined. If we're talking about the San Francisco model, it's different than the Berkeley model or what we're proposing here. So... Every single person who sleeps in the doorway outside tonight has access to some type of shelter, from Navigation Center, traditional shelter, transitional encampment, safe sleep zone, parking program, warming center program. These are all listed. We all know what they are. It's incredibly affordable compared to what we're doing. We are currently forcing people out by limiting shelter. We are responsible for homelessness.
Shelter everybody. Yeah.
Last one.
Well, getting back to your chart about what are community common goals, I think one major goal that everybody can agree on is cleaning up the Pogonips and the right-of-ways on the highways. I don't think, you know, you have all these things about sleeping and camping, and you're talking about, you know, doorways and so forth. The folks in the doorways aren't really the problem. I mean, of course, we feel sorry for them. You know, we don't want them to be there. We would like them to be sheltered. But it's those pictures you see constantly of the environmental mess, health mess, and risks of all the trash and litter, Pogonips and these other paradise along the river, you drive down Highway 1 at
Sycamore Grove.
How is your recommendations going to yank folks? Pull folks out of the Pogonips. I don't see how it's going to happen. They seem to want to set up camp, you know, 24/7 permanently.
You want me to answer that question, or we're just moving on, and I'll have a conversation with him later. Okay, moving on. I'll talk to you later. Last one.
I also live in Washington. We also live in Washington, D.C. Two women were knifed by homeless people. So there's a safety for women issue. I'd like to know.
She was stabbed in the neck and died within minutes.
Yeah.
That's what a homeless person did.
It happened to Lena's not too long ago.
I'm not saying all homeless people do it, but there is.
House people were hurt as well.
Yeah. Women are sexually assaulted and human trafficked, and men within the homeless community far more than any others. Absolutely. Yeah. Many studies of homelessness is a very dangerous thing that have to do. You need to choose to do it. It's still a very dangerous thing. Absolutely. The number of housed people that are causing crimes is large too. Just to say, lots of people do it. It's always horrible.
Hi, I'm Leslie. I'm a pretty new resident and homeowner in Santa Cruz, not too far from here. And, you know, I would love to see the homeless housed, but it sounds like that's not immediately, you know, something that's going to happen. But I would love to see a place that is secure and sanitary where they could go with transportation in and out of downtown, that's not in a public space where children should be playing and they're not leaving needles and trash.
Good question.
Question that I may answer, may not. What's the question? There are none.
There are none.
We need to have that conversation.
What I like about this, and I read ahead, so I cheated. What I like about this presentation is that it thinks about short-term goals, but also long-term goals. And long-term, we have to think big. And we have to think outside the box and outside the current zoning and building ordinances. And if I could wave a magic wand, I would use, what is it called, eminent domain, and take, it's a magic wand, come
okay.
on, give it to me, a whole bunch of that land, you know, in the area where the landfill is and where Pascua the Ranch, in sort of this gorgeous no man's land where there's rolling hills. And
yes.
Make that part of Santa Cruz and make it a community.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but I do have a lot to go through.
So it's a community goal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
As a community?
Yeah, it's what do we agree,
right, right.
Even the house,
so,
and the unhoused.
I am curious, I think one of the community goals is to kind of figure out why we have so many homeless people here in this community, right? Because they're not all, I mean, they're not all from here, they're not.
Yeah,
I've been here a long time. I don't see any people I've known here for 30 or 40 or 50 years. So. One of the community goals is to figure out who's really from here and who we're housing, and if we're creating an environment here that encourages people to come here.
I hear that, and we're going to write it down, and I can have more conversation with you on data.
Yeah, but this is supposed to be something that you're going to send to the full committee, right?
And we're going to have report section,
right,
of what,
so, I mean,
people
who
said.
It should be, you know, with both sides.
Yes.
And then I am interested in. So you're saying that there's not a lot of outreach from the city or the county.
Well, the city's
trying
not
to find
that.
Like going out there and trying to figure out like who's housing, who is not. There is not a lot of that out there right now.
Got a couple new officers that are going out and social worker stuff.
Like actual people that are kind of like creating data and doing that. That seems really surprising. So, I mean,
we can talk more. Let's move on because I have more questions I need to
make. Okay, all right.
If it'll work. Ooh. This one is, this is the question, the straight up question. Do we need a camping ordinance at all?
Yes.
The
yes.
question is, on the right are what is normally said about people who camp and the problems they cause. And we're talking about public nuisance, and we're talking about littering, we're talking about trespassing, we're talking about fires, we're talking about blocking sidewalks. Those all have their own ordinances. The idea of criminalization of homelessness is that you're starting a conversation and you're stigmatizing a person in a way that might not even be necessary. First question. Second question. What is the way to go about it? The present ordinance that we're looking at is, as stands, is a police officer who has to say, in some techie thing, he's gonna figure it out, there's a spot at some shelter. Will you go, or I'm going to write you a ticket, and I may not give you a ride or your stuff, and you have to get there. Question of how do you feel about that, and if you want to say that's necessary in a different way, totally fine. But what's your opinion of that whole set of stuff?
Thank you. I guess the question that I have and is that looking at the list on the right, I mean, I feel that if there are ordinances that address those things, you know, I see a lot of them. You know, I want to be compassionate, and if someone's camping, as you described, not making a mess and not and being respectful of those around them, I think that's one thing. But you know, we do see a lot of the visibility of the stuff on the right, and so can you describe the state of the of those ordinances and how they actually live in this community? Like, you know.
So the question is, you're asking how they get enforced?
Yeah. What are they and how they get enforced? Like,
those are all ordinances and laws. People have tickets for them, and he sees, and we've all seen, and he's seen packets and packets of tickets that people are holding. And some of them are, dude won't stop being drunk downtown, and now there's a new FIT focused intervention team that serves serial inebriates that keep getting calls and deal with them in a different way. But then there's people who do other stuff and are just sleeping, and they have that Dreamcatcher showed me piles of tickets. Just a trespassing ticket, and he's just trying to get through the night.
Every year we have hundreds of trespassing tickets. Even before the camping ordinance was suspended, we had hundreds of trespassing tickets. And after the camping ordinance was suspended, we still had hundreds of trespassing tickets.
But I'm not supposed to be getting into a debate there. If you want to have a conversation with me, I'm just saying 1,000, I don't know, we had some numbers of, what was it, 80% of the people don't show up in court? 90%? Yeah. Of all the different police departments within Santa Cruz County, and the tickets written, you can imagine that Highway Patrol, most tickets get paid, because that's your car and you're going to work or something like that. But in the downtown city, the tickets that are written, like 90% people aren't showing up in court. It's a different kind of, it's a different population. It's not changing the behavior is your issue. Having a new, hold on, there's a few people. Hold on. So that's just the question. Those are ordinances. Is the other ordinance necessary at all? And in a minute, we're going to go through the details of it and talk about questions and if you have any suggestions on parts of it, because that is also what we can do as a recommendation, change this little part of it, that little part. But the first question, and if you say I don't know the specifics of it very well, I don't want to answer, well, we're about to go on anyway. It's fine.
Yes, we need a camping ordinance. Here's why. We need people to get services. If people are allowed to camp wherever, they're less inclined or less likely to be in a location that provides services. And secondly, on my summer listening tour, inadvertent, the number one objection I heard about people who are in neighborhoods is that they do not want people camping everywhere. They're not so opposed to having designated spots, but they don't want it to be everywhere. There have to be some rules.
Yes. Oh, and side note, we're going to talk about zones of where people can be. You can still have no trespassing to make everything a no zone and closed off parks and stuff and have one park open. The camping ordinance doesn't mean the only way to control where people sleep.
I'm talking about public sanitation, okay? People on the street. There's a lady, for instance, for example, the other day, a lady at 10 o'clock on the wheelchair had no access to a porta potty for wheelchairs. Therefore, she urinated herself, which then they wouldn't let her on the bus, which then she had to stay outside and go home to Watsonville, put a blanket on her. That really gets on my nerves. I've been arrested for having a blanket, food. I bought Trader Joe's, and over there, by the waiting for a meeting at 12 o'clock, by the post office, giving away food I got from the Red Church and stuff I bought at Holy Cross. Not only that, I get arrested. They threw me to the ground. All law enforcement broke my arm. I didn't get my jury trial. I got 29 days, no jury, with a busted elbow.
Hold on one second. So the question here is camping ordinance, yes or no?
You need fires to stay warm in the winter and shade in the daytime. They got closed areas where there's trees in the daytime. More people die of heat than they do of hypothermia. I have gotten tickets for illegal campfires at Twin Lakes. Nice clean fire.
I gotta get some more. Thank you.
I think we should hear from people who live outside.
On the topic.
Yeah,
on the topic.
About all of the
24/7.
Nothing about us without us.
So when I work in the county building, like I spoke of, and they have that temporary shelter set up in the park behind us. And I walk down there and ask the people, how come every day I look down here and I see 50 pieces of plywood and two tents on them? And they said they get their voucher, they pick up their tent, their sleeping bag, and they don't come back because we have rules. That was their response.
Oh, you're talking about as Ross Camp was being closed, they had the open area of the benchlands for a little bit. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
I think we need a camping ordinance. Okay.
Thanks. Next one. This is more specific on the camping ordinance. So it's a little thicker. Same thing that I said before, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., 10 p.m., and you have this written on one of your pages there. Yeah, okay. You have it. It's just offering you that information. Within the camping ordinance, as is written, these are unresolved issues, complications within it. So the definitions, as it's talking about an encampment, when you're talking about if somebody is going to stay the night, the intentionality and finding and deciding someone's intentionality if they have a tent and they're sleeping there, and then they're not allowed to, it's different if I had a couple kids in a tent versus somebody else and their intention is. How that is written, one of the letters that was written talks about the vagueness of that and just talking about how that's written and how to tell the difference. We would like to hear opinions on, stopping on that.
So I just have a question on this. Within the ordinance, is there any language around determining in real time or approximate real time what shelters have openings or and how to get in touch with them.
In as it's written, it's just saying the idea that that will be available to the officer. Right now, there is not that ability. Our shelters don't work really well. We could have a conversation. It's a phone call. It would probably just be a couple meetings. There's no technology easy on that one. As I understood it, it wouldn't be implemented until that system was set up. And then there's the question of which shelters, eligibility, and all of those funny little questions that might not want to say to an officer or something.
I had spoke to a guy in the city, the IT department, and he said he's implementing a resource service app in that manner.
Yeah. Not as hard up
here. I'd be interested to.
Talked to a couple of homeless folks. They said that they don't want to go to camps because they really can't get the drugs.
Yeah, they can't come back drunk or high.
Yeah, people don't want to go to camps. I think you mean a managed campground, like 1220 or something. They don't want to be on a program because of substance addiction. Yeah, but there are some programs in some parts of the country that they want people off the streets. So you decide what's the best way I can keep people safe because I really want them off the streets. But if you raise the bar, because I actually come from behavioral residential kind of program, break my rules, you're out. But we're talking about how do we get people off the streets? It's complicated. You make rules and people are not gonna be there. Well, you got a place that has the rules and they're over there. So, right? What's that? It's a complicated thing, and we don't have the political will for a safe injection site in town.
I want to hear from the homeless folks and homeless advocates in regards to this question, but why don't we just designate, like, Public Park, San Lorenzo, Lotta Nelson, this is the place where you go from 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., and
Sleeping at a park.
It seems simple to me, and it seems Martin versus Boise compliant. Why would that not sit well with...
Just say that that's your suggestion. Just keep it at that.
No, I'm just asking what... It's sort of the current... suggestion, because it's like the police will then have a location to say, go here, it's legal, it's viable to sleep at these particular parks, 10 p.m. to 7 a.m., got to be out in the morning. But I really want to hear from the homeless folks, homeless advocates, what's wrong with that?
Not really here to help the community debate there, trying to hear what people's suggestions are. Salinas does a thing like that.
Right.
We have to decide what we, that's fine. And there's infrastructure and safety issues that everybody would have with how that would get managed, how it gets cleaned in the day. We also have to decide what we decide about people during the day. Some people during the day, a lot of people want to say people have jobs at night kind of thing, but for other people who want to be sleeping, depression, anxiety, want to hide in your tent, whatever that thing is there some way that they can still be able to sleep? And not because I don't want to go around every day and be facing people and stuff, and I have a place to go and hide and hibernate. Is there some way we can set that up without making the encampment issue and the mess issue and stuff like that? Do we have night sleeping in one area, day sleeping in another area? Do we have no day sleeping? But it's infrastructure and control are all the issues that people have with it in the neighborhood.
I just really had a visceral reaction to what you said, because San Lorenzo Park, for example, is got a playground and a duck pond, and the purpose of that park, I mean, that would just trash it. And why not? But it just could be a different place. There should be a place, but one that's not intended.
I see that you're disagreeing. This is not a debate. We are just hearing people's opinions.
Take advantage of the fact we have homeless folks and homeless advocates here together with.
I am getting in trouble from the other people on my committee that I'm not moving along. Ben Stoney wants to say something, and I see you guys also.
I just want to say, as far as like these reactions to homeless people, if that was your son or your daughter or your niece or your nephew or your mom, I'm a homeless woman in Santa Cruz, would you
looking at me? Are you afraid to let your kids approach me, talk to me?
Am I a nuisance in the same park that your niece and nephew are playing in? Absolutely not.
Allie,
I'm a human being and deserve to be treated that way. I have a right to say that, Serge.
You do, Thank you. We're still trying to get feedback and let people say what they want to say, Allie.
It's good feedback, Serge.
Let me check with Stoney. Okay, so Stoney gets some feedback from me.
I'll make this really, really quick. I think these things on this particular slide, while they're very important, they strike me as more of an implementation as opposed to a policy. And those are the kinds of things that are done at a different level than we would function here. Much like you develop a code for building codes, but you don't put in all the minutiae that goes with it. That usually comes later as you begin to develop policies and procedures for how it's implemented. So I don't think we can resolve these types of things about where, who, and how much in a space like this. Thank you.
So I propose using unbuildable lots that we are not allowed to build due to septic conditions. And we do temporary Salvation Army style trailers with facilities, washer dryers, showers, all that stuff. You could fund it with solar carports.
For the sites, thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the first thing, though, that we must think of is that the people that are living outside are humans and they are Americans, and the things that we're talking about here, we have to think of it from that perspective, because it's not, it will never work if it's about behavior and about social control and policing and kind of this making people that live outside the other. And so there is a possibility of building tiny homes on vacant lots, things like that, and we just need the political will to do it. But I think the fundamental thing that this community needs is to see people living outside as their family, their friends, they are human, and that this kind of a thing would then be in context of like, how, as a house person, what would you want when you lose your house and move to the streets? And let's think about it from that perspective. So I think, okay, my opinion is that we need places throughout the community where people, well, first of all, everyone should be allowed to go wherever they want, because we're all Americans and there's an actual constitutional right to travel. So all public spaces should be available to all people, no matter what their economic status. Thank you.
But they don't have a right to just throw trash around and needles and
there's a human feces. Right, a constitutional right that says we have the right to seek shelter and food. I prefer petroleum free. I like to cook with wood. I like to make my own electricity with wind, a garden. I do not like to camp by myself. They were saying there was a lot of criminal activity with that tent city. There's people, drug dealers in that neighborhood, pedophiles, even law enforcement pedophiles. And I know a couple of them. So good luck. The ordinance is that let them people build their own teepee, whatever, put up their own tent, grow their own garden, have a dog, and let them be alone. Leave them be. Let them sleep during the day. I'm 64 years old. I like to take my afternoon naps and shade or underneath, somewhere where there's a rake. With the fire, without a fire, kept fire by the beach, no matter, in the woods.
Thank you.
People are human.
Okay. Any other, okay, and for our report, it's about if there's any suggestions we have on standard operating procedures, too. If there's something that you see that... Yeah, and it's time to move on right after.
Man's real quick. We had a solution, but nobody welcomed to the table. Our solution was we offered the VFW to have a choice of sleeping in a car or inside the building. After about a month, people just, like, the neighbors said, too much trash, too much noise, and the sheriff was called upon, right? For 3 years, we did this program, right? But the problem is, everybody's different. One shoe doesn't fit everybody. That's the problem we have today. It's, we had a lady in Paradise, California. Her house burned down. She loves the place. But everybody doesn't want to be in the same area. That's the problem we have. Case in point, I had a kid come to me. I have a place where he stayed, but he didn't want to stay. So the solution is, hey, one size does not fit all. We have the answer, but it's hard to put everybody in the same box. Thank you.
Okay, moving on. We have a few more questions for you. So the choices are, and you, the outreach model can work with the camping ordinance, can work with the different kinds of, we still have to decide where people sleep. No matter what rule we have, those people don't have houses, and we're not gonna house 2,000 people. So the 1, 2, and 3. No camping ordinance, and start putting in some infrastructure in different places, and you still have other kinds of ordinances. Number 2, camping ordinance, and we name a couple places, where specific places that need some infrastructure and some management to make sure they stay clean, where they can sleep. Number 3, we just say places they can't sleep, but we're still implying places they do sleep. You can say it any way you want to. But either way, we're going to talk about some site criteria, and you guys have to say what sort of things are more important to you as Department of Planning actually has scoring kind of things that they do, and we can actually do scoring as we look at different sites.
Once again, is camping just camping overnight 10 to 7, or is camping 24/7 tents?
Have to decide which all of those things are decisions you make. If the ordinance as it sets, as it is, is no tents at all at night, only if there's not a shelter available to you, not during the day.
Yeah.
That was short. That was sweet. You can look at this as Santa Cruz, and it's the Parks and Rec. And those are all parks. And if we were to throw a map on there of where people are sleeping, it would be down the levee, it would be up on the Poganip, and it would be circling across all over where the parks are, because people are trying to find places to sleep. You don't say where they go everywhere, and they're still trying to stay near services. So when we start talking about sites and stuff, accessibility of bathrooms, accessibility of public transit, accessibility of services, accessibility of medical, those are things that they're looking for. Things that we're looking for are reasonable things too when you start talking about businesses in Pacific, but to say things that don't match their needs, then it's more likely they're not gonna follow the rules. So trying to set it up better. Camping zones. If you choose to say specifically which zones, or we talk about the criteria, easy for people to get into, easier for law enforcement and outreach to find them, easier to set up services there, easier to set up a bathroom that gets cleaned and managed, or if storage was offered there, those things are easier because you have just set up a place for them to go. Right now, we have no funding at all to do the management of the thing. If that's what you're asking about, that is different from the camping ordinance. But it's still something you can suggest if you want to. Could be spread throughout the city because it has to be accessible. The guy in the wheelchair on the west side cannot physically get to the east side or downtown and doesn't want to be around a certain set of people. Legally, it has to be an accessible place. One idea that Department of Planning said, if we talk about a couple places, we can actually say 2 months or 3 months in this place on the west side, and then it's going to be 3 months there or 2 months there or something like that. Lots of different possibilities of this thing, because we are not trying to have horrible unpleasantness for our neighborhood. We're just trying to deal with a crisis. Yeah. And it could regularly rotate the locations, and it could be very educated that people could know. And you could set up things if you knew where they were. No camping zones. We have to decide, or you say your opinions on 24 hours, no camping. But maybe one place is a daytime, that's fine for people to sleep, but we don't want them sleeping there at nighttime. Or a park has a part of it that's nighttime and another part that's daytime, so people do have to move, so it's cleanable and stuff like that, because it's the encampment and staying there forever that starts to
have people have feelings about that.
Outreach and enforcement are still, outreach people can still be going and finding people, and enforcement can still be happening too. Ideas on any of those things?
I just want to say, I think you're doing terrific stuff here. I'm actually pretty impressed. My advice would be, could you come up with a limit? We're a city, we're not the federal government, so if we propose a limit on how many people can we house, protect, you know, provide services for, and then say we're full up. We have to know our limitations in that. That's my point.
I hear that. Let it go. We're taking feedback. It's a bigger conversation.
Feedback.
So this is the site selection criteria, and you have that page. If some of these things are more important to you,
figure out which ones those are, because you can grade them in certain ways that some things are get a 2 point and something else gets a 1 point, depending on how you feel.
So a very important thing is to be able to have all your things in, like, the not on your back, and not have to pick up all your stuff and then move it to the next place, because that's a barrier to employment and it's a barrier to getting off the streets. So it would be extremely important that there be places where people can stay full time, and otherwise, so every person that I've gotten off the street got off the street because they were able to leave all their belongings at my place, the place I was renting. And so that is super important, that there be safe storage and people are allowed to be there 24 hours and leak come and go. The other thing that I think is super important, that it be self-managed by the people themselves, because that encourages ownership of the place. And people very much, particularly living on the streets, resist being policed and ordered around. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You guys? Want to play?
Yeah. I have to agree with both things that Keith just said. Wandering around trying to apply for a job with stuff on your back, with everything you own in two or three backpacks does not look good to a potential employer. So having a safe storage facility would be a good, helpful thing. I'm not real big on a permanent location. I like the idea that was put out of rotating, you know, every month or every 2 months it changes. You know, you can, you know, you're over here for 2 months on the west side, and then you're over here for 3 months, you know, six blocks away, or, semi-permanent. But one of the big deals is it needs to be the proximity of social services and medical county, say Emmeline, where you go for your food stamps, meds, anything like that we usually need. We that are housed at this point, we put ourselves in positions where we're close to that also, and that's a big deal. Unfortunately, there's not going to be one good place for any of that. So we need a melange of different types of things, I think.
Rafa, you got to figure out how to spell melange.
This is our last slide, and this is one of the bigger things that we need some ideas on, because otherwise we're just deciding where everybody goes. So what is important on scoring? What is the thing? Is it the out of the rain thing? Is it the, I don't know, all the different things. Economic impact, food availability, environmental impact, costs. Opportunity costs, because you could put it on a baseball field and you don't cut your baseball. You could put it on a parking lot and you don't cut your parking lot. You could have another parking lot at night. Somebody was just talking to the assistant CAO about using the 701 Ocean parking lot with people and asking about on Facebook and stuff.
Using the 701 Ocean always on weekends.
That's really funny. But if you guys don't have opinions, like, that's cool.
I think that we could utilize the county's cafeteria in the bottom basement. It's not being operated right now, and it's a kitchen.
This is it. I got nothing else to say. I'll be dead right there.
What
makes me uncomfortable is thinking about places that I see on the map where children play, where there's a lot of traffic. It's like high traffic areas, children play and utilize the space continuously, certainly not in the middle of the night. But what resonates with the idea of people really wanting their own, their autonomy, makes me think farther out, so like Pogonip, and this theoretical idea of making a whole new community further west. But the lots of little tiny spaces smack in town doesn't seem, even as a temporary solution, doesn't call to me. It has too many complications and issues.
I hear that.
I'd like to agree with you. I think there should be a semi-permanent place, and I think it should be somewhere where it doesn't impact parks that are being used for other purposes. And I don't think people should have to leave during the day or during the night and switch. And I think they should be able to store their things and have some security and some sanitation and access to services. But I don't think it should be in a little park in the middle of town where people are using it for other purposes, because that's just a huge conflict then.
I gotta get the mic.
Someone mentioned the rotating thing. We are doing that right now. The FC is rotating every day to a different site, and they'll pick you up. Back to the lady from Paradise. She loves the idea. She goes to different sites to have a place her own. Different church, BFW one day, and somewhere, not church, or someone's backyard. But the thing is, it's hard to get all these churches, all these services come together, right? The BFW for the last 3 years has provided the service, but the thing is, the neighborhood, you know, the neighborhood, not in my backyard, that was a 99% of the problem. The neighbors said, no, we don't want the homeless in the yard, but they're not in the yard, they're in our yard, and we let people sleep in the car, and then they kind of threaten us with the sheriff and everything. That's the trouble. 99% of the problem is perception. We have dumpsters, we have places, showers, we have all this facility for the homeless. But back to the neighbors. The neighbors' perception is what they think the homeless are, but they're not that. You know, back to the lady of Paradise. She lost her home. She burned everything down, and she loves our place. My suggestion is that we got to educate the neighbors that are, like Keith said, hey, could be all of us. You can be a paycheck from being homeless. The house can burn down, right? So the problem is the education of the neighbors misjudging our homeless people. Thank you.
This is kind of a housekeeping question. It's like, what, 7:30 or?
Yeah.
What do you, and if this were a successful meeting, what would you want to see happen? What are you looking for us from?
We
have to recommend to the city council something to do with the camp ordinance, and we have to tell them something about where people should be sleeping. Because that conversation with the policeman says, in some places you can camp unless there's a shelter available. So if there's no shelter available most nights, where is the place they're going to camp? Because right now, if we started the ordinance right now and all the shelters are full, they can sleep anywhere. But just to be clear, unless we start making some decisions and stuff, make them accessible, and probably bathrooms and stuff too, otherwise the place we just sent them to is going to get a little messy. Grandpa, I don't know.
Sure.
But that's what I'm asking for you. If you want to give me some ways of choosing places, and some people have been saying stuff like that, that's what he's writing down.
It's having a place to go and set up your tent, like I mentioned earlier, one of the parks and so forth, compliant with...
Yes. That would be a place
shelter,
that they would...
Being a shelter.
No, it doesn't... You don't have to offer shelter. Whether there's shelter available, either in a building or 1220, which was a program, if they don't have those spaces, there's no space in those things.
Right.
None. People must go somewhere. They still physically exist. We have to say where that is.
or it'll just continue to be on everybody's front yard and backyard and side yard and on the levee, and then be, even they don't know where they can find a place to sleep that won't get them woken up in the middle of the night. Then that doesn't work for anybody.
I really want to say I like to empower those who are on the committee and know that our input, you know, we all got good ideas. This is a team of people who are going to have to make the decisions. I trust you, okay? I know some of the people who are very quiet. We would say that my experience is when you ask about aims and goals, page 110 in that big report of the United Way, you got to start with what exists. My contribution is I'm now a student at Cabrillo. The resources are not just the inebriates. What about that $1 million that the sheriff has got from the county? What are we doing that we could apply that program to the hardest to reach? But thank you for what you do from here.
Thank you. He's referring to the focused intervention team, which the police can do a referral for somebody.
So I propose a self-managed camp in the area behind Ross, as designed by the community already. And we will be bringing a much more detailed presentation to the next CASH meeting, and we hope that it gets introduced to City Council. And we've already have some expertise in having set it up, run it, and it was beautiful, and we can do it again.
Two things to say.
Women with children on the street, elderly, and people on wheelchairs and handicapped need a safe area to sleep, and guard the medication, their phone, their valuables, their life, from all targeting, including law enforcement, taking the valuables where they die of hypothermia, no medication. They can't get their puppy out of jail except Tuesdays and Thursdays, leave them Friday to Tuesday to die on the street. That's not a joke. This is serious.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Tom. Women and children, wheelchairs, elderly. This is the last part of it, if people have anything to say. Otherwise, I was going to start closing. Rafa, ahead.
As a former homeless person, I know that proximity to places and people is very important. The idea of moving an encampment out past the west side, say near the landfills, or you know where there's space in places like that, that's not very inviting, for lack of a better word, for the unhoused people, because it puts them so far away from any resources. It puts them a million miles away from a grocery store or a place to buy a candy bar or to get their meds or to talk to a counselor or to apply for a job or to get the bicycle on their tire fixed. Unfortunately, the unhoused people exist. They have to be somewhere. They have to be somewhere close enough where they can at least stay alive while they try to forward their life. Unfortunately, in Santa Cruz, we're very landlocked by our green belts, our oceans, our mountains. There's not a lot of places for people to be. So the smaller places in between lots, the smaller parks or off to the side of the freeway, those are the places that we might end up having to use so that people can stay alive, so that they can be near their doctor or their appointments or the soup kitchen. When I was homeless, the Coral Street shelter, you could eat there in the morning and at night. You could eat at the St. Francis soup kitchen at noon. You could eat Elm Street on Fridays. Okay, so if I wanted to eat breakfast at Coral Street, I'd have to be there and be done eating by 8 o'clock. And then maybe I've got a job interview out by the Capitola Mall. Okay, it takes 2.5 hours to walk out to the Capitola Mall. So I don't get lunch today because after my interview, I've got to walk 2.5 hours back to try and get dinner at the Coral Street and then maybe get on the bus to go to the Armory for shelter for the night. Maybe, if I can make it in time. So where services are right now is already a little too far spread out to make it to make moving forward possible.
Noted.
I'll summarize. In my opinion, but I'm not an expert. I think their idea of having a camp, a permanent structure with facilities, with medical facilities, or at least access to healthcare, pharmacies, a permanent structure outside city limits, and have transportation back and forth, have a bus that goes back and forth, takes them shopping, takes them to the hospital, you know, runs every 2 hours. Well, they can put their stuff in a locker, they have bathrooms, they have, you know, doctors come and visit. But a permanent place is what I would think. That would be my suggestion.
Thank you. Other questions or feedback, anything I missed from anybody on the catch? The last questions as we start to close this out. Okay. Thank you. Definitely we have a meeting on Tuesday. I don't actually know where it is unless somebody else in the committee does. It's 6 p.m.
It's upstairs,
second floor, 6 p.m. It's a Brown Act thing. You get certain times to talk. You can see it on Friday. If you go to the city's website and look for Catch, it'll have the agenda for the Tuesday meeting. And you can write letters, Catch, C-A-C-H, at cityofsantacruz.com, and that will go to all of us and become a public record.
I would think it would be really wonderful if Catch had a meeting where it was the people that lived on the streets were able to come in much larger numbers, and that it was focused on asking questions of people that live outside, what would they be interested in having happen? And you know, when you have nighttime meetings, it's very difficult for the people that live outside, because you've got to get in your doorway by you know, like 5-6 o'clock, or you got to catch the Salvation Army bus at 5:30. And so we're working with the shelters to make it available so they could come to these meetings, but it would be good to have a meetings that were specifically designed for people that lived outside to have input, since they're the people being affected by these decisions. Thank you.
Voice of the homeless. I thank you guys for taking time out of your totally important lives and doing and not getting to watch Netflix or anything. You're going to have to go catch up on your shows or whatever that means. Come to our Catch meetings. Ask us personally. There's a few people around that can answer questions, and we have different opinions. And I hope you guys, most importantly, I hope you felt heard. Thank you.
Sirs, can you just give the elevator? Are you prepared to give the elevator speech of what happened tonight and what you're going to report to the Catch?
Not to everybody, but if you want to for a minute, I can try to answer. I can't turn it off. Thank you. I can't turn it off now that it's on.
Okay.
That doesn't help everybody.
You feel that there was a consensus that
consensus of about 10 or 15 people, and then two people have this or not enough numbers to compare it.
About other than that, some people wanted a permanent place.
We have 12 employees. They moved the people up to the library. That site is actually available for 2 months. The city manager says, sir, I was like, let's put it something for 2 months. I have no money.
Where?
1220. Oh. Yeah, and I asked to the CAO.
1220 is fair as that.
Those people doesn't know. So I was like, okay, so we can have 2 months out of the way and we can get people in tents. No, there's no money. I was just at the CAO's office today, and they say the same thing. There's no money at the CAO. Oh, I'm pointing towards
no, no, that's okay. I'm just struggling with this.
But they won't.
You're being tasked to say what the consensus is.
That was my first task in trying to create programs and design. But then we just stopped in the middle of that and said, the family ordinance has no money to it. It's where do the people go with the program? And that place has to be decided. Agreed that people want something respectful and humane and stuff like that. Agreed. When that gets built. And until then, we still have to talk about that outside and their money thing.
Well, and the point that you made, the suffering thing, which is if we don't say that's what happens,
big bike up in the mountains, 800 pounds or more.
As I see it, Mark's at Beth, or other places, we win.
I was just going to say thank you for a lot of
The top of the difference is where everybody wants you.